Lesson 7 answers this question, how to receive healing from Christ. In the case of the lifting up of the brazen serpent in the wilderness, Numbers 21, verse 8 says, "It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." This was a type of the atonement that Christ adopted and applied to himself. It was a requirement that had to be met if the dying Israelites wanted to be healed. If, as some teach, healing is not provided by Christ's atonement, then why were these dying Israelites required to look at the type of the atonement for bodily healing? And since both forgiveness and healing came to them all by an expectant look at the type of Calvary, why can't we all receive as much from Christ, the antitype? If we cannot, then the type is placed in a higher ground than Christ himself, and the type becomes a false prophecy. But notice that none were to receive healing except on this condition, everyone that looketh. Looking means to be occupied and influenced with what we're looking at. It is the equivalent of Abraham's refusing to consider his own body and waxing strong in faith by looking unto the promises of God. Being concerned and influenced by our feelings or symptoms is reversing the conditions which God requires. Looking means attention. After God gave the covenant of healing and revealed himself as our healer by the redemptive name Jehovah Rapha, the condition he laid down was that they should hearken diligently and do all. This means attention and heed to his word. Jesus in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, also taught us that it is by our attention and heed to God's word that we measure to ourselves his blessings. The word of God is the seed. Like all seed, when it is put into good ground, it has the power to do its own work. The attention and heed to the word of God is the way to get it into good ground and to keep it there. Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we assist him to get the seed out of the ground. He can only do this by getting you to turn your attention away from the word of God to your symptoms. Jonah called his symptoms lying vanities and said, while still in the great fish, "I will look again toward thy holy temple." Then we hear him offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This shows what looking means. Looking also means expectation. To look unto God for salvation means to expect salvation from him. He says to all of us, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." Since God has provided and promised healing, we should dismiss from our minds the slightest thought of failing to be healed. The word looketh is also translated consider. We read that Sarah considered that she could rely upon him who had promised. Instead of considering her age, she received faith by considering the word of God. The word looketh is in the continuous present tense. It's not just a mere glance, but a continuous stare. Until you are well. It was a steadfast faith that brought the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. The healing process goes on while we are looking to the promise. We are to think faith, speak faith, act faith, and to keep it until the promise is fulfilled. By being occupied with symptoms or feelings, we violate the conditions and thereby turn off the switch to his power. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, that Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible. As far as the optic nerve is concerned, faith is the evidence of things not seen. But as far as the enlightened eyes of our understanding are concerned, faith is the evidence of things seen. Walking by faith is walking by sight of a better kind. We are to spend our lives looking at the far better things than can be seen with the optic nerve. We see with the eye of faith the glorious things that are invisible to the natural eye. After all, it is the mind and not the optic nerve that sees. You cannot see your money in the bank except with your mind. When you draw a check, it is by faith in what you see, not with your eyes, but with your mind. Faith is the most rational thing in the world because it is based on the greatest of facts and realities. It sees God. It sees Calvary, where disease and sin were canceled. It sees the promises of God in His faithfulness, which is more certain than the foundations of a mountain. Faith sees the health and the strength given on the cross as already belonging to us. It receives the words, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses," and acts accordingly. What the eye of faith sees, the hand of faith appropriates, saying, "This is mine by virtue of the promise of God." Faith refuses to see anything but God in what He says. It is a great mistake to suppose a thing is not real because it cannot be seen with natural eyes. Suppose you should trust me to blindfold your eyes and to lead you down the street. The pavement under your feet is just as real as though you could see it. Every time you take a step, you are acting a faith, which is the evidence of things not seen by natural eyes. You see only with your mind what I see with my eyes and describe to you. The great spiritual realities and facts, which God sees and tells us about, are just as real as though we could see them with natural eyes. Because of God, His faithfulness, and His promises, faith is the surest ground that it's possible to stand on. To the man who is not enlightened, or who does not see the promise of God, it's like stepping out into space. But to those who have faith in God's Word, it is like walking on the foundations of the universe. By merely standing on the naked Word of God, millions of sinners have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Millions have also been taken from this world to heaven. The promise of God has been better to them than a stone ladder, reaching from this world to heaven, which could be seen with the natural eye. Jesus tells us that He came that they that see not, that is, with the natural eye, might see, with the eyes of faith. After ascending to heaven, where He could no longer be seen with the natural eye, He counseled us to anoint our spiritual eyes with eye salve, that we might see. By doing this, Peter was made to rejoice more over what he saw with his new sight than he ever had over what he saw with the optic nerve. Walking by this better kind of sight is the happiest life possible on earth because of the superiority of what we are constantly beholding, the best things, the joy-producing realities. Supernatural joy is always the result of using our better pair of eyes. It is important to see that real faith is occupied with God's power and mercy, not with human weakness. God invites us to take hold of His strength. He says, "To them that have no might, He increaseth strength." He says also, "Let the weak say, I am strong." It is as we obey Him and do this, believing on the authority of His Word, that we have His strength, even when we feel weak, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We must believe what God says in spite of how we feel. One reason why some fail to receive healing is because they believe what their five senses tell them in place of believing the Word of God. We should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man, that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. But the things of God cannot be discerned, appropriated, or known by the natural senses. No kind of physical sensation, such as pain, weakness, or sickness, can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. How foolish it would be for me to doubt the promise of God's second coming because I felt sick or weak or had a pain. And if a pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. God is just as faithful to one promise as to another. Therefore, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of pain or any disagreeable feeling as it is to question Christ's second coming because of these things. The ground upon which we claim the forgiveness of sins is the fact that Christ bore them in His own body on the tree, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and we must believe that we are forgiven before our feelings can be any different. It is in exactly the same way, on the same ground, that we are to appropriate physical healing from the great physician. The healing of both our souls and bodies is based upon the unchangeable truth of Christ's finished work, not on feelings. When God gives you the redemptive name, Jehovah Rapha, thereby saying to you, I am the Lord that healeth thee, He wants you to answer with faith, Yes, Lord, Thou art the Lord that healeth me. He wants exactly what He says to be true in your experience. You can make no mistake in saying and steadfastly believing what He says, that He, at the present moment, is actually healing you and will continue working until you are perfectly whole. Faith is saying and believing what God says and acting accordingly. The blessings we take by a steadfast faith in God's promise will always materialize. When appropriating the healing Christ has provided, we must not be double-minded. James says in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We must, as it were, behead ourselves and put on the mind of Christ, which means to see only what He says and to act accordingly. This is implied in our asking in faith. Paul tells us to put off the old man with his deeds. This includes the old man's habit of thinking only according to the evidence of the five senses. Putting on the new man and having the mind of Christ includes our thinking and believing what is written, and saying as He did, it is written. Remember, the new man is not governed by the evidence of the senses. The Word of God is very powerful. The Bible tells us that there is no Word of God without power. Psalm 120, verse 7 tells us, He sent His Word and healed them. This is His way of healing both our souls and our bodies. Many have been healed after reading the words in Isaiah 53, verse 5, By whose stripes we are healed, and by then saying, God says I'm healed, and I'm going to believe God and not my feelings. By saying and repeating what He says and acting accordingly, even cancers have disappeared. When we steadfastly believe and act our faith in God's Word, nothing can keep the power in the Word from making all things to become exactly as the Word says. All we have to do is firmly believe what the Word says and resolutely refuse to see, believe, or think of the things that contradict the Word. We're to take sides with God and believe that all we need for spirit, soul, and body is already ours. God said to Abraham, I have made thee the father of a multitude. By taking the new name Abraham, which means the father of a multitude, the patriarch in faith continually repeated God's word after him. I am the father of a multitude. By counting the things that are not as though they were, and giving glory to God in advance, exactly what God said became true. As you believe that God has done and given all He says He has done and given, as you constantly obey His word, God makes all the old things leave you and makes all that is of Christ appear in you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that God has already given us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. This includes all we need for spirit, soul, and body, for this life and for the life to come. Jesus purchased all this for us, and God tells us He has already given it to us. Isaiah 53, verse 5, and 1 Peter 2, verse 24, tell us that God has healed us. Colossians 1:13 says, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, Behold, I give you the power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Romans 6:18 tells us that we are free. When appropriating all this, God warns us in the case of Peter to never look at our circumstances and feelings. The waves were just as high when Peter walked perfectly on the water as when he sank. While he did not look at them, they could not hinder him. But the minute he looked at them, he doubted and went down. The wind also was just as great when Peter walked perfectly as when he sank. When he did not pay any attention to it, it could not hinder him. God here teaches us that if we are occupied with looking and feeling instead of with Him and His Word, we will lose all He offers us. On the other hand, by steadfastly refusing to see anything but God in what He says, we shall have and keep everything that He says He has given to us. Satan is busy trying to take from us what we take from God, and so God bids us, "Hold fast that thou hast." Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus gave Peter power to walk on the water, but the devil took it away from him by getting him to fix his attention on the wind, representing things we feel, and on the waves, representing things we see. Peter had the power and used it, but lost it by doubting. How many lose the manifestation of healing already in operation by turning their attention from Christ and the Word of God to their feelings? Before taking the step of faith for healing, get this matter fully settled, that after taking the step, you are going to see nothing but God and what He says. From that moment, doubt should be regarded as out of the question and out of reason, because the evidence upon which you have planted your feet is the Word of God. To watch your feelings or symptoms would be like a farmer digging up his seed to see if it's growing. This would kill the seed at the root. When the true farmer gets his seed into the ground, he says with satisfaction, "I'm glad that's settled." He believes that the seed has begun its work before he sees it grow. Why not the same faith in the imperishable seed, the Word of God? Believe that it's already doing its work without waiting to see. In receiving supernatural healing, the first thing to learn is to cease to be anxious about the condition of the body, because you have committed it to the Lord and He has taken the responsibility for your healing. You are to be happy and restful in the matter, because you know from His Word that He takes the responsibility for every case committed to Him. When receiving healing by faith, the body and its sensations are lost sight of. Only the Lord and His promises are in view. Before being conscious of any physical change, faith rejoices and says, "It is written." Jesus won His great victories by saying, "It is written," and believing that it was written. Any unfavorable feeling should be regarded as a warning not to consider the body, but to consider all the more the Lord's promise, to be occupied with Him. How much better to be in communion with God and rejoicing in His faithfulness than to be occupied with a sick body. In this way, multitudes have made great spiritual advancement. Others have forfeited sweet communion with God by being occupied with their feelings and symptoms. In Mark 9, verse 24, we read that the father, seeking healing for his child, cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." By asking Christ to help him, he received the needed help, thereby rising to a place of power above the apostles and succeeding where they had failed. In the Greek, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, which means helper. Thank God, the Christian can always have His help whenever it is needed. The Holy Spirit is always ready to work in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight, and this, in a special sense, includes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Since faith is especially pleasing in His sight, He wants to produce it in our hearts by His Word and by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always ready to help every Christian to exercise faith for any blessing God has promised them in His Word. The Bible tells us that Christ is able to save us to the uttermost, and this includes particularly His saving us from our unbelief. This is the sin of which the Holy Spirit came to convict us. Therefore, with a resolute purpose to hearken only to His Word, confess to God your unbelief and count on Him for deliverance from it, the same as from any other sin. His grace is always sufficient to cause faith to triumph for the appropriation of any mercy He has provided. The Holy Spirit is always ready to execute for us the fulfillment of any promise God has given. What is it that makes a man righteous? Over and over again we're told that Abraham was accounted righteous. How? He believed God and acted accordingly. He so believed and acted as to receive from God the fulfillment of His promise. To do this is the sum total of righteousness. Nothing can ever be so important and such a privilege as this, because it is in this way alone that God's glorious program for the individual and for the church can be carried out. In no other way can the will and the work of God be done by anyone. When Christ was asked the question, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? His answer was, This is the work of God, that ye believe. It is only where he finds the exercise of living faith for the fulfillment of his promises that God can work. Since it is by thus believing God that we are accounted righteous, it is unbelief that constitutes us unrighteous. Unbelief is wicked and unrighteous because it hinders and sets aside the divine program which consists of all that God has promised to do in response to faith. No wonder that it was the sin of unbelief of which God sent the Spirit to convict the world. Anything short of our having a living faith for the will and work of God to be done, even though we may call it religion, is something else in the place of his righteousness. Therefore, it is unrighteous. Christ's ability to save us unto the uttermost consists in his ability to save us from our unbelief, which is so deadly to the glorious divine program. The Holy Spirit is given to guide us into all truth so that we might believe it. This is so that the whole program of God may be carried out. How many there are who believe in God, but who do not believe God as Abraham did. A steadfast faith for what God has revealed to be his will for us is our whole duty, and from every standpoint our greatest privilege. How God would sweep the world with his mighty power if all who professed his name were set out to discover all divine truth, to believe it with an appropriating faith and to act accordingly. Faith in God has a much stronger foundation and a much stronger helper, the Holy Spirit, than either doubt or sin or disease has. The Holy Spirit will free your mind of all doubt if you will rely on him to do it, if you'll keep your attention on the Word of God. The glorious and lasting realities which God has provided for the eye of faith to behold, when really and steadfastly beheld, always become stronger than the cancer or the disease which the optic nerve sees. Doubt, sin, and disease can always be destroyed by the right use of the eyes of our understanding. This is the infallible method for our appropriation of all of God's blessings. All the glorious victories of faith recorded in the 11th chapter of Hebrews were the result of the proper and persistent use of their better sight. The law of the Spirit of life, which heals our souls and bodies, is much stronger than the law of sin and death. This law, when not hindered by us, will win every time in a million. Everyone who sets himself to obtain the benefits of the atonement has an infinitely capable helper whose power, when relied upon, can never fail. As God's grace is stronger than sin, so is Christ's healing virtue much more powerful than the strength of any disease. And the evidence God gives us for faith, his own word, when it occupies the mind, is much stronger than any evidence Satan can give us to make us doubt. What is the exercise of faith? Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, Stretch forth thy hand. Christ first gives faith, then calls for it to be exercised. The man stretched forth his hand in reliance upon divine strength, and it was made whole. As we put forth effort in reliance upon God, to do what without him is impossible, God meets us with divine power. The thing is done independent of nature. Concerning anything that God calls us to do, all things are possible, not to him that feels able in himself, but to him that believes. We see this man's ability not in himself, but in Christ, in whom every part of salvation is contained. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through our union with Christ, the true vine, the strength is already ours, but must be put to use. It was the effort to put forth his hand which opened the way for the healing touch to be given, and the divine life to flow. This act of faith, begun in the natural, became a way of entrance for the supernatural, to meet the man's need. It led at once to an action wholly supernatural, by virtue of the divine power that was imparted to him. To an exercise of the body not possible according to former conditions. An act independent of natural forces and wholly dependent upon God. The act of faith is not only a physical act, it includes the exercise of the heart and mind toward God. The full exercise of faith means that we think faith, speak faith, and act faith. This brings the manifestation of all that faith takes according to the promise of the Word. You may be asking, how can one exercise faith for healing of blindness or of an affliction which does not interfere with the motion of the body? To the blind man, Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. This act gave the man an opportunity to exercise faith in heart, mind, and body. It was the same with Naaman, with the 10 lepers, and with the centurion. In each case, they went relying upon the word of Christ and believing the healing was theirs before it was manifested to their sight. Should you deposit $1,000 in the bank and come and tell me that you have made me a present of that amount? If I believe you, I would act my faith, draw checks on the bank as I needed the money. I've not seen the money in the bank, but it's just as much mine as though I saw it and had it in my hands. Just so, healing for our souls and bodies is in Christ, whom God has made the treasury of all He is. Sickness from which I have been redeemed does not belong to me, but healing does. Therefore, I begin to check on healing. How? By attempting in His name what I cannot do without Him. This is acting faith, checking health and strength from the bank of God. It is counting on something we do not see or feel, but which we know from God's own word is ours, in the same way that the money in the bank is ours, although we do not see or feel it. Someone may say, how can I say that I'm healed when I see disease in the body and I'm conscious of pain? There's an illustration in nature sometimes given which makes the truth clearer. One method of killing a tree is to girdle it. When we see a tree girdled, we think of it as a dead tree. Still, its foliage is fresh and green for a while and gives evidence of life. The natural eye sees life. The mind's eye, which has knowledge beyond what nature beholds, sees death. In time, the leaves wither and fall, and death, which the mind's eye saw from the first, becomes manifest to the senses. So it is when we take healing for the body. As we claim the word of promise and faith, receiving the finished work, the sword of the Spirit strikes the death blow to disease. For a little time, symptoms may remain, but the eye of faith, which beholds the crucified one, sees disease canceled and health given. Calling the things which be not as though they were, the new life is manifested in the body. That which the eye of faith saw from the first as the truth becomes manifest to the senses. Faith sees God in His love and omnipotence making good the word. Being governed by natural sight is unscientific, because it does not take into account all the facts. It overlooks the greatest and best of facts. Healing by natural means is unscientific because it overlooks important facts, the supernatural agency in disease, as well as the privilege of the supernatural in its recovery. We thank God for the thousands who have made great spiritual advancement while receiving healing in this way. The process of faith which brings the healing is a far greater blessing than the healing itself. Many throughout the Scriptures became famous for faith as a result of seeking God for what we call temporal blessings. When we have learned the process of faith for receiving healing, we have learned how to receive everything else God promises us in His Word. The church could win millions for the service of God and make them fighters of the good fight of faith by offering to them the healing of Christ purchased for them. May you, by learning to be healed in this way, advance into a life of faith and usefulness in the kingdom of God.